from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm so excited about the group that we have, the tight ends and the receivers, because it's so many different skill sets. And you hope that that versatility allows it to play a little harder on defenses to defend of, hey, this guy can run short, but he also can push vertical, and it's not only certain guys doing certain things. And so I think you guys saw a couple yesterday of just seeing Dalton do some things going vertical. We know we saw that he can do that last year. And so something that I hope for all of our guys, you know, that's a part of their repertoire.
Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady. We'll talk to him in a couple of minutes. Stick with us. Fans rolling in here to St. John Fisher. Sunny day. Temperatures expected to climb up all the way to about 87 late afternoon in Rochester for practice. High of about 84.
All right.
Right now it's 77 and feels like 83. So if I'm doing the math there, like if the real feels up 6 degrees based on humidity.
Yeah.
I do this with golf. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, what's your distance? Okay, I'm, the, you know, all right, add six for the wind. Anyway, real field could be up to about 90 today here in Rochester.
I proposed, suggested to my wife that there should be a dog real field. Are we taking, like, whether to take the dog for a walk? Is it late enough yet because it was so warm during the day? Especially, my dog's got, like, a black curly coat. Wouldn't his real feel be higher? He's basically wearing a jacket at all times. His real feel be like 110.
No, it's a myth.
That's a myth?
Yeah.
What's a myth?
Their coats protect them from heat. Also.
Not the other way around?
No.
You're telling me that all that black fur is helping him stay cooler than I am?
Yes, I'm telling you that dogs that have fur, you don't shave their fur to protect them from the sun because their skin is not...
Right.
It does not take the sun well.
That doesn't mean they're cooler, though. That just means their skin is sensitive to the sun.
I mean, they sweat, but if I have a black lab. Someone that knows dog science, call in right now, 803-0550. I have a black lab. He will lay in the sun.
And yeah, Finn does do that, too.
And when you go to pet him or touch his coat, it's hot.
Yeah.
And he's not.
But if you were to wear a winter jacket out in the sun yesterday, and I touched the winter jacket after being on the sun for 10 minutes, it would be hot.
But he's not wearing a winter jacket. He's naked.
But he,
if you put a winter jacket,
but he kind of has a jacket on at all times.
I think we
right?
just perceive it as a jacket. First off, they can't sweat. Dogs,
right. He does lay in the sun too. So if he was that hot, he probably wouldn't be doing that.
Right.
All right. Well, maybe the dog real feel should be lower.
The dog feel. Has any scientist called in? No. Okay. 803-0550 for the scientists. If anybody wants to call in. 803-0550. Okay. Sal, pointing out referee Clay Martin. No change this year to how first downs are measured. Not all stadiums have the required technology to implement the Hawkeye system. It'll be used as an experiment in some preseason games. We did know that. And again, like, the measuring.
Yeah.
It's simply the checking of a first down that the new Hawkeye technology would replace the chain gang. The chain gang, as I understand, would still be there. They're necessary for players running to the sidelines. They are still marking where the line is. But now the line would be digitally whatever, and they could look, and rather than run to midfield or all the way to the far hash, they would just say, like, that's across the line. Or instead of Gene Steratore pulling out an index card and sliding it, which did
that
happen.
Happened.
That happened in a football game.
Yeah, that really did happen. Is the future going to be also that we get the yellow line live?
What do you mean the yellow line live? Like it's on the field?
Like it's on the field.
Like it's projected onto the field?
Yeah.
A laser?
Is it even a laser? Like, aren't projectors now, like, advanced enough where that would not be that hard?
I think you'd need a laser.
You think you would need a laser?
Laser scientists.
Not one, of course. That we need.
No, the kind of
dog
laser.
Dog scientists and laser
hold
scientists.
Hold on. You might be onto something here. If you have one of those laser levels, those lines will go for a long way.
Yeah.
If I do a projector, how am I showing up the light source in a well-lit stadium?
I mean, have you ever gone to, like, you ever been to, like, an art gallery where they have, like, a projector, like, kind of set up or whatever? Like, I don't know. I feel like projectors are advanced enough that we could. I don't know where it would be, though, because it would have to be down the sideline. Maybe this isn't ready. Maybe we're not ready for this just quite yet.
I don't know.
Okay. It's all going to be different eventually.
I don't know how different it'll be.
Every year there's these little changes. Sports, every sport, except hockey, makes these shifts. You know, tennis is the groundwork of this Hawkeye system where it works. And, like, it's so streamlined, and soccer has really dove into this. Like, every sport on their own timeline, robot umps, right, in baseball, slowly but surely are starting to gain more ground, I think, in, like, the minor leagues. Eventually it's coming for every sport, this type of stuff.
Yeah. All right. 803-0550. For dogs, my wife chimes in. Their feet are more to think about than their coat.
Right. That's true.
Barefoot on pavement.
Especially for how hot the concrete is.
Jeff on a cell phone wants to chime in. Hey, Jeff.
Yeah, I don't want the Chiefs to go to 4 in a row Super Bowls. I don't want them to get rid of the 90s stuff.
There's a good. How about that as a compelling case? Thanks, Jeff. That the Chiefs have been to 3 in a row?
They've been to, no.
No, 2 in a row. They have a chance
to
win 3 in a row.
And 4 of
5.
5?
Yeah.
4 of 5.
4 of 5.
Yeah.
So there's the ultimate. Granted, they've won a couple of them. Is there any part of a Bills fan who, you know, asked another tough question? What would you rather? The Chiefs become the second team ever to go to 4 in a row and win a couple, or the Jets win one? I feel like the 4 in a row thing, if they were to go to 4 in a row with a win in there, like, it doesn't undo what the Bills did, but, man, that's a smack on going to 4 in a row.
You're saying if they go to 4 in a row and the Bills have done what?
The Bills have gone to 4 in a row.
The Bills have
They're
gone
the only
to
team
row. Yeah, yeah.
To go to 4 in a row.
So if the Chiefs, Super Bowls. I see, sorry.
If the Chiefs match it with wins in there,
yeah,
your legacy.
I see what you mean. And that would be on the line this year or
no,
next year?
Next year.
Next year. And they also, no team has ever won 3 in a row, right?
Yep.
And they can do that this season.
They're so annoying.
They are, but, like, I'm used to it at this point. Right?
Yeah.
They've beaten the respect into me. I'm whatever. They want to win again. It will feel – the other day was an easy one for me, easier than today's question. Like, Jets or Dolphins? No chance. Right. I won't be able to live with it.
Today's question. Tough question. New segment we're having called Tough Question. Which would you rather get out of a non-Super Bowl winning season for the Bills? The AFC title, or an Allen MVP? And before you say, what?
Mm-hmm. Who would 40% have voted for the Allen MVP?
Yeah.
40%. And likely more, because I included one tab there for results. 40% of 1,500 people say they'd rather have Allen win the MVP than win the AFC.
That is wild.
If it means losing the Super Bowl. That's the thing. Like, to build in losing the Super Bowl, it's the Allen MVP is worth more to me than the AFC.
Does it matter if I've beaten the Chiefs along the way to the Super Bowl?
I'm sure that matters to a lot of people.
Like, how did I get there? But see, that is part of the other question, is if you badly don't want any of these other teams to have bragging rights over you, there really is no path the Bills could take, right, to make the Super Bowl that wouldn't feel satisfying.
Yeah.
Even if it didn't include the teams that have beaten the Bills. It didn't include the Chiefs and the Bengals.
Wouldn't matter.
But they beat, because who are the other teams that they could beat?
They beat Jacksonville in the opening round as the 2 seed. They beat the Texans in the divisional round, and then they knock out Baltimore in the AFC.
Even that is satisfying.
Okay.
That is,
you want less satisfying.
Because a fan would go, all right, I got more bragging rights for the Bills over Allen over Lamar Jackson, and I beat Diggs.
I smacked it. Okay,
I
fine.
Beat Diggs
you
in the
beat
playoffs.
Jacksonville. Oh, that's Gabe Davis bragging rights. Okay, let me take those away. You beat the Raiders in the first round.
Oh.
In the second round, you take out the Browns.
Okay.
And then in the AFC Championship game, a scrappy Pittsburgh team.
Oh, man, wait a minute. You give me a win over Tomlin in the AFC Championship game, I'm ready to go on that.
Hey, an update on Cole Bishop. Week to week, the Bills have two safeties that are week to week. Cole Bishop, a shoulder injury, week to week. And on Alec Anderson, he is back with the team. He was here. He's here today. He was back with the team on Tuesday night. He'd been taken to the hospital with heat-related illness symptoms. So good news on Alec Anderson. Bad news on second-round pick Cole Bishop, week to week. So his training camp is over.
All right. Yeah, that's it.
That's tough.
That takes you almost to the regular season.
Listen, it's got to be a big concern at safety right now, because between Mike Edwards, who was hurt during minicamp and OTA stuff, and is now injured again.
Yeah.
You know, the safeties, that's tough.
I know they signed Kareem Jackson already and they brought in another guy yesterday, but how could a Bills fan not be wondering about Micah Hyde right now?
I'm with Sal that I think it's too early.
It's too early.
I think Micah Hyde.
But that they wouldn't have that on reserve. Have they had a conversation with him, you think? Would you guess they've talked to him this week? And maybe they came to the conclusion of maybe after camp. Doesn't want to take part in camp, injury risk, why bother? You know the defense, you know all the intricacies of everything. What's the point? You wait till the regular season. When did Kyle Orton sign with the Bills? Was it after training camp? Just because he didn't want to take part in training camp because he was an older player?
Right.
Like, maybe that's Micah Hyde.
So it's too early. That's the whole thing.
It's worth keeping an eye on.
Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady making his way right over. I'm going to grab him a headset and chat. Morning. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Fantastic. How are you guys doing this morning?
We're doing all right.
Good.
You know, it's another beautiful day. Good to be back here.
We're in the shade, too. So
Yeah. Enjoy it right now, right?
Yeah.
So, anyway, good morning. How's camp? How are things?
Things are good. Man, you enjoy every one of these. Like, it never gets old. Seeing the guys come back, you know, the off days, you get a little reset. But enjoying how the guys are working.
I want to go back to when you came here to Buffalo to join the Bills. You know, you'd been around, been in the NFL before, LSU. When you jump onto this staff and you know you're going to be working with a quarterback the caliber of Josh Allen, like, take us through that process, like where you were and how you landed here and what appealed to it.
Well, I mean, it was obviously I was extremely fortunate for the opportunity, right? I just got let go in Carolina, you know, and I wanted to make sure at that point that I wasn't just jumping at another offensive coordinator job just, you know, for a pride thing. I wanted to make sure that you know, I had a lot of room to obviously grow, but I wanted to get around an organization that was doing things the right way. And obviously coming, you know, Dave's and they had a lot of success offensively and, you know, following Dorsey for his career, it was just a great opportunity for me organizationally. Now, obviously getting to be able to coach Josh, I mean, who's going to turn that down? Man, he's exceeded anything I actually thought of him. And so I'm a lot better coach now than I was 2 years ago because of him. And I'm excited for him this year.
What's it like, give and take, like as you jump into a job with a guy that's established this much, trying to pull the best out of him? Is it sometimes about asking him what he likes the best, but also convincing him maybe that he's a little better at something that maybe he doesn't think he is?
Yeah, you know, and that's what's been cool for the, you know, really the last, you know, 2 years is, you know, I first get here and he knows the offense better than me, the reality of it. You know, he's gone through it. He's got all the reps. He's found the issues and he's had success with it. And so a lot of it was, hey, you know, tell me how you see this play. You know, let me make sure that I'm seeing it the same way as you, as opposed to coming here and saying, hey, you know, I've read it this way. Let's change this. It's like, hey, it's working, you know, and you're the quarterback coach. And, you know, as you get a feel of what he likes and how he's seeing things, you know, through years, now it can be, it be towards the end of last year, in the middle of last year, it kind of becomes, hey, you know, is there another way? Is there another lens of kind of seeing it? And I feel like his communication with me is incredible, and I think that allows me to put a lot of trust in him, as if he brings up an idea, I'm going to go with it because he's put a lot of thought into it. And, yeah, man, it makes life a lot easier when the quarterback is comfortable saying how he feels about things.
How different is your job back to the college days at LSU versus now? Like, there would still be development going on with probably all those players when you're in college versus, well, I don't know, you tell me, like, Allen as a finished product, like, are you not having to work on, you know, mechanical stuff with him as often, and it's just more of a focus on the actual offense?
No, it's you know, the big thing with Josh is, like, you know, he's falling in love with being bored, and I mean that is, like, greatness is, you know, those little details of the boring things. And, like, if we overlook the mechanics, if we overlook the, hey, you know what, you've got a lot of time on task with this play, let's do something else, you know, those things start to slide. And, you know, you can see that he put a lot of time in the off season, you know, refining some of the technique, trying to find a way to get better. And so whether it's this year, whether it's year 18 here, like, I believe with his mindset, he's going to understand, hey, I got to find a way to get a little bit better. And that's what makes life a little easier for us and a lot of fun, knowing that, hey, your best football player has that mindset, so everybody else is going to believe that too.
Jeremy and Joe with Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady. How much of that, like, as you're saying, attention to detail and time on task on certain plays, is a function of everything's changing? Defense changes from 4 years ago to the way the defenses play today. Are you a different coordinator than you were 5 years ago just because you always have to change?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, plays that you're running this, like, plays that I would have ran when I was calling plays at LSU would have no shot at working in nowadays football, both schematically, but also understanding the type of quarterback that you have, right? The plays that defenses are changing, also they're changing how they're playing elite quarterbacks like Josh, right? So the difference, the style of play from 2020 to now is very different. And him understanding that and recognizing that is... but, you know, as an offense, you have to grow no matter what. You know, even if you're the best offense 1 year, if you just think you're just going to be able to just, hey, let's just take that playbook. You know, it's not an overhaul, but if you think you can just run that the next year, well, if you're the best, people are studying you, they're going to find ways to try to find a way to stop you. And so we got to just always kind of keep that without losing who we are, find ways to continue to get better.
When it comes to Josh Allen running, how do you act on plays, like, react to plays like that? Like, because I'm sure there will be plenty of times throughout the year you call enough plays where a play either doesn't work the way you want it or breaks down and Josh just runs for 20 yards.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, I was, you know, for 2 years here, right, I'm saying, hey, Josh, you know, I don't want to take the football player out of him, right? Like, he's a football player, and you know, I also want to see him play, you know, year 18. I probably won't be here, but I want to see him play year 18 here too. And so there's that fine line. But, you know, we're at our best when he is Josh Allen. And, you know, I used to give him a hard time a lot of times when it was like, hey, there's two defenders right there, Josh. Like, what do you think? And he's like, I'm going to score a touchdown. I'm like, you know, and yeah. Then we go to the Pittsburgh game last year, right, and there's two defenders right there, and he splits them and goes for a touchdown. And I was like, I know that's going to set me back, but, yeah. You know, it's like he's a smart football player. He understands the time and the place and when and the why, but we need to allow Josh Allen to be Josh Allen.
To quickly follow up on that, because oftentimes I think when we talk about his athleticism, it's about him running and, like, the rushing once he crosses the line of scrimmage. But for you, like, can your playbook be deeper with a guy that understands, you know, where the defense is awareness-wise? Like, he can buy time back there. You know, if you wanted a longer developing play, just in theory, I'm thinking, like, he would be somebody that you would think you can have that in your playbook versus maybe there would be some quarterbacks that you wouldn't feel as comfortable with it.
No, absolutely. Look, he can – He has a skill set that he can do a lot of things that a lot of people can't. You know, and sometimes he's running, and some of it's like, hey, you know what, let's clean up your footwork and your reads right there, and you don't have to run. You know, and so sometimes it's a give and take, you know, where, you know, there's you know, look at that Pittsburgh play, right? No one was open, you know, when he makes us right. And there's sometimes, so it's that fine line. But, no, the playbook's always open with Josh Allen. I trust that he's gonna make us right one way or the other.
I also want to make a, you know, athleticism point, comparison to Simone Biles in the Olympics. She can do things other people can't do. As a coordinator, when you have a quarterback that has the arm strength that Allen has, like, I'd imagine the book can be a lot bigger than some of these other guys in the league. Like, some guys are very good at doing what they do, but you're so much more limited because they can't make that, whatever, the hardest throw there is to make on the field.
Yeah, but I think it's a combination of he has an elite arm, but, I mean, his football IQ and his intelligence. And, you know, there's so many times where the quarterback coach or the OC are in the box and, you know, like, how did he see that? You know, the game's slowing down for him and how – I mean, it's extremely impressive, and that's why you're getting a lot. That's why you don't get what you game plan for with Josh, because he's able to diagnose it and kind of roll with it. And so, yeah, the playbook's open because, A, he can make those throws, but the playbook's open because he can handle it and he can make great decisions with it.
Your offense now. One of the things we talk about a lot is obviously you get your offense. What do you borrow from? Your influences? You know, if someone's asking you in a job interview or whatever, you're describing it to somebody, what is a Joe Brady offense? What does it look like? What are the fundamental building blocks of a Joe Brady offense?
Yeah, I know that you're going to hate this answer, but, like, there is no such thing. You know what I mean? Like, the Joe Brady offense is going to look different year to year. The Joe Brady offense is always going to be around the quarterback, and so this is Josh Allen's offense. And what can your quarterback do, and then find the pieces that you have. So, hey, these are the wide receivers we have. These are the tight ends, the running backs, the O-line. Let's put it around them, as opposed to, hey, this is what, you know, I did when I was in New Orleans. This is what I did at LSU or Carolina. You can't just pick that up. There might be some core principles or, you know, kind of ideas, but it's always going to revolve around the guys and their skill sets and trying to figure out what they can do.
Yeah, in turn, we'll look at, like, a lot of, like, the run pass numbers, and that's where I would wonder for you, like, maybe going into a game, you'd have an idea of how much you want to run in that game, how much you want to pass, again, generically. But then, like there's their Dallas game last year where you guys run the ball like 50 times and Allen throws 15 times. Sometimes maybe during a game it can flip. So I guess my question would be, like, going into a game, run versus pass, how much of an idea do you have of what that game is going to look like versus how much can it actually shift?
Yeah, I think you always have an idea, like, hey, you know what, this is going to be a game, hey, we might have to throw the ball a little more to win, or, hey, we're going to have to stay on schedule to stay out of some third and longs, which can get a little more pass heavy or whatnot. But I think in your game plan approach, you also have to have the mindset of, hey, if we have to run the ball to win this football game, do we have enough? And if we have to throw it every play, do we have enough? And then to me, the biggest thing is just the flow of the game. And I think there's a huge thing of having plays on, you know, plays on a call sheet and then calling a game. And that's something that I got to continue year in, year out, and game to game is do a better job of just getting the flow of the game and understanding, hey, you know, if they're not stopping this, I don't have to get away from it. Or, hey, this is what our guys might need. And, you know, if we can find different ways to win football games, that's the most important thing to me, is if that, I think it makes it a lot harder for defense to defend when it's, you know, hey, we can go to a, you know, the Dallas game and run however many times we ran. And if we have to then go to the Miami game, obviously take away some of those turnovers, which I love to have back. If you have to throw it that many times to win, I think it makes it hard to defend, because they're like, hey, what are we going to try to take away? You know, are we going to try to take away the run and let Josh Allen throw? Or do we want to take away Josh Allen and give you the run? And so it's that cat and mouse game that I have to always do a good job of the, you know, getting the feel and the flow as the game. So I know that probably didn't answer your question, but that's a big thing to me, is just really the flow and being able to adjust as it's going.
Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady. Some of those weapons, let's talk about a few. Curtis Samuel, you knew him before this training camp. What's it like watching him again?
Yeah, I mean, when I got him the last time, I didn't get to meet him until training camp because it was COVID year. You know, and so you have a skill set. You know, every player on our football team, we try to put a vision together of, like, how is this guy going to be utilized? And, like, you know, it's not just – we don't just bring in wide receivers and just say, hey, here's a room. You know, you're trying to get different type of skill sets. And, you know, when I got Curtis in Carolina, just the vision that I thought I'd have for him and just seeing the growth that he took when he was actually there was a lot of fun. And coming here, you know, he's obviously more of a vet, has a lot better understanding of the game of football than he-
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Porch rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It was, you know, 3-4 years ago, and he's as smart as they come, and it gives you a lot of flexibility.
I'm going to run down the line. Khalil Shakir, we really saw him blossom last year. Later in the season when you were running the offense.
Yeah, I'm as consistent as they come. And, you know, Khalil's a guy that, you know, sometimes it's a knock when you say he's a football player, but he's a football player. Like, put the pads on, and the guy makes plays. And that's what football's done. You see with the ball in his hands, good things happen. And love everything about Khalil Shakir.
Second-round pick, Keon Coleman. How's he looked?
We're just keep preaching the consistency with him, right? You know, I'm pleased with what I've seen from him. You know, but at the same time, it's got to be consistent. You know, a day-to-day thing. And so, you know, he's working at it, man. He's smart. He's doing a great job. And just continuing to manage. Hey, this is the expectation for you.
Is that something that rookies have a little bit of time sometimes to find out what NFL life is rather than college life? NFL football is the consistency of every rep.
That's it. You know, there's always going to be an adjustment period, right? Yeah, there's always some people like the Justin Jeffersons that can go for 1,500 yards as a rookie and don't blink, or some of the quarterbacks is natural, but it's an adjustment, right? You put pads on, it's like, hey, and then it's an adjustment of, hey, I can run routes like this, but now once I put that stuff on tape and team see, hey, this is how I'm playing it, or, you know, what's my next move? What's my toolbox look like? And so he's doing a good job of taking the coaching, working it. He might go out to practice and it might be a one-on-one rep and he doesn't win, and I'm saying, good job. Yeah. And it might be a one-on-one rep that he wins, and I'm saying, you won, but that's not what we're looking for. You had a toe tap on the sideline, those type of things. And so, man, but the guy works, I'm just trying to get him just consistency stack days.
With Coleman, one of the things coming out in the draft was about where he lined up might be key. You know, you're talking about how you have a vision for these guys. There were some that thought Coleman might be better as a big slot, not as an X. When the organization was evaluating him, your vision of him, what do you think is there for him? Is it anything eventually? Is it wide open?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the character and the position. The receivers that we brought in, or the mindset, is that because they're not just one position players. Like, I always struggle when people say, hey, this guy is a one position player. It's, well, if he's an X only and we line up in a 3-by-1, call it a trips formation, he's number one into the boundary. And if he says, well, then if we go and we flip it and we go to a 1-by-3 formation, we're now Dawson's those single into the boundary. Well, now he's number one to the field. So he has to really play multiple positions as it is and has to learn the concepts. So to say a guy is only one position, so we don't teach positions, we just teach conceptually, and you know, and so it gives that flexibility to be able to put guys inside or outside.
While we're on the pass catchers, at tight end, Dalton Kincaid from last year to this year, for tight end, like I want to know from you, like when you look at the history of that position, like he actually ranks very highly as a rookie tight end when it came to receptions. Like there weren't many all time that were higher than him. I wonder like kind of why that is, and maybe if that can show signs of, hey, there are these little nuances at tight end that are tough to pick up on if you're just watching the game, that often sees these guys take a jump when they get to year two, when they get to year three. And if you're seeing some signs of that from Kincaid in this camp.
Yeah, look, Dalton is he's such a smart wide receiver that speaks so loudly to the quarterback. And what does that mean? That means is Josh can be able to hit his plant foot and be able to know, hey, when he's leaning or breaking on his outside, you know, he knows that he's breaking in or vice versa, and so he speaks to you. But you know, we're challenging Dalton, and he's handling it because you put one thing on tape for 1 year. Well, teams are going to study you. You know, you said he had success last year, so hey, you know, how are teams going to defend Dalton? How are they going to, you know, play him in coverage? And so, to me, the biggest thing is guys understanding that from year to year it changes, and so he, you know, for him to take the next step is finding ways to get better on how they played him this year and knowing what's going to come, how they played him last year and knowing what's going to come this year.
A few more minutes here with Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady. Let's dip into the offensive line. Connor McGovern makes the move to center. Osiris Torrence had a good, strong first year, I'd imagine. When you look at your group up front, not a lot of changes there. In fact, McGovern just moves over the one spot. So I wonder, you know, if you think that group will come together quickly because so many of the names are the same names.
Yeah, no, I think they do a great job. Connor does an unbelievable job of communicating. You know, we were fortunate, you know, having Mitch for so many years here of an elite communicator, and that's something that's important at the center position, and that's what Connor does. And very stout. He's a natural at the center position, and Dave Edwards played so much ball for us last year that it's so, you know, he was a starter without being considered the starting five. And so just getting those guys a lot of time on task together and being able to get a feel, you know, Dion with David and understanding that communication with him, it's I've been pleased with how they're kind of working and communicating together.
You got to find the magic formula that kept everybody so healthy last year.
Yeah, let's
like,
keep
what do,
that.
What do we do? Lucky socks? I mean,
yeah. Well, I wear the same thing every practice and game, so I'm gonna just continue that every single day because it doesn't happen like that often.
The only position we didn't touch on with you is running back. My question on James Cook might be like he is size wise like he's not one of the bigger backs in the league, and last year like I mean he had a big workload, a lot of touches, and injury-wise did fine. Is that ever a thought for you with him? Or maybe not, like that he's a smaller back, you know, a Derrick Henry 400-touch workload, you know, might be more dangerous for him than others? Or, again, is that just something that you just kind of run the offense and it just shapes up the way it is?
Yeah, I think some of it, you know, some of it obviously naturally sized, but like Jimbo is strong. He's put together. And, you know, look, there's always freak injuries that happen sometimes at the running back position. You know, sometimes guys were workhorses in college and that's actually worse for them in the NFL because they've got a lot more hits on their body. You know, but not something that we worry at all about Jimbo. You know, the style that he plays, the way that he runs, our run game might be a little different than it was with, that they do with sure. Derrick Henry and whatnot. I don't have any regards or any worries about what runs we're running with Jimbo.
Joe Brady, is it you on Twitter that tweets 1-0 after every win?
That's me. It's my only go-to.
I follow you. That's how I know that you're
1-0.
You're very much a live in the moment 1-0. So here's
I'm a boring follow, but I hope there's a lot of 1-0s. You know what I mean?
I know when the Bills won a game.
That's it.
Here's the question.
In case you're wondering.
Here's the question. Who is the more play-to-play, live in the moment, can't look ahead? You or Bobby Babich? We talked to him. And he would refuse to talk about anything more than the day in front of us.
Yeah.
So you two are going head to head out here. Who lives more in the moment?
You know, it's interesting because as an offensive coach, you have to live in the moment, but you also have to plan ahead, right? Like I'm calling a play, and I'm calling a play. It's 1st and 10, and I'm calling a run to Jimbo, and I have to have a mindset. Yeah, sure. I hope we pop it, but I also have to be ready for the idea that it could be a 2nd and 6, or hey, what happens if we don't get in a 2nd and 10? So, you know, when I'm teaching the guys and talking to the guys, I want them to be having the mindset of playing the play, but I always have to be thinking ahead of hey, what's going to happen. I can't sit there and be like, oh, it's 2nd and 6. Let me think about what I'm going to do. So yeah. I call a play, have a mindset, see the look of okay, I think this is what's going to happen, and start kind of playing in my head of what can potentially happen.
And then there's, I'd imagine, the really fun part, which is, you know, doing something to set up another call later in the game. When are we gonna when are we gonna hit him with that thing we've been setting up the whole time?
Yeah, and that's the fun thing, right? Is you're hoping that you can kind of get a flow, and that's the thing of being able to get a feel, right? It's you know, we think we have an idea, but sometimes it's you know, that Bobby's an incredible coach and defense coaches, right? They're game planning too, and they're getting a feel of how the flow of the game is too. And so, but no, me and Bobby, we love going at it. He's as competitive as it gets, and I love him. He's making us better. Their defense is making us better.
Well, thanks for the time. I'll be looking for those 1-0s this year.
Let's go, baby.
Very good.
I appreciate you guys.
Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady with us here on WGR. We'll take a break, come back, and catch up here on WGR. Oh, yeah. You may not remember. You may be out of practice. It's Thursday. There's Thursday Night Football. It's time to put together our 1-2-3 same game parlay.
Let's go.
We each pick a leg.
Let's go.
Yes, that's right. Same game parlay. Bears, Texans, let's each pick a leg. Let's all, you know, see if it hits.
All right, let's do it. Have some rooting, get some rooting interest.
You guys are doing this with the preseason? Yeah, we are.
What better time to do it than the preseason? Do you have a reason to watch?
Listen, preseason.
You never need more of a reason to watch.
Preseason for everybody, babe. We're just getting warmed up. All right, I'm going to start us off.
All right.
I know this guy because you told me about him a long time ago.
Oh, his college career is – it's him making the NFL is the biggest upset in sports history.
He's speaking of Tim Boyle. I'm taking the under on Tim Boyle.
Who, I remind everyone, had one touchdown and I think it's 18 interceptions in college.
Yeah.
Something like
that. He's in the NFL and he's in a preseason game. Yep. Under's got to be so – the over-under in the game is 31.5.
Right.
Like, that's incredible on its own. So, yeah. I'm going to go Tim Boyle under – what was the number I saw on this?
He's on the Bears?
Presumably.
He's on the Bears, yes. He's on the Bears. Under – I think I've got 66.5.
Yep. Under. Right. Oh, he's on the Texans. Under 66.5 passing yards for Tim Boyle. There's my pick.
All right. I am going to go – John Mechie.
Oh, yeah.
The second. No, the third. Excuse me. John Mechie the third, over 26.5 total yards.
Okay.
In this game. Mechie, a second-round pick of 2 years ago. He, if you remember, missed an entire year.
Non-Hodgkin's
lymphoma,
was that what
I think.
It was? Okay.
I think that's right. Missed a whole year. Last year, got back on the field but wasn't playing much. Only had 16 catches. To me, you got a second-round pick that had an unfortunate illness.
Showcase him.
Showcase him. You got Diggs now. You don't need him anymore. Showcase him to the world and see if you can go get a mid-round pick for him in a trade. So, showcase time for John Mechie. I got over 26
It was not non-Hodgkin's. It was acute AML.
Okay.
A form of leukemia.
Okay, thank you. That's what it was. Yep.
Yep. Okay. So, Mechie over 26.5 total yards. Josh.
I am going to go with everyone's favorite former Buffalo Bill, Case Keenum, over 70.5 passing yards.
Wow, it's a big number.
It is a big number, but hey, I believe in him. I think he can do it. He's got a case to do it.
All right. We've got to add one in because we got to pick from two different teams.
I just noticed that. Okay. The app we're using for this makes you pick from two different teams, and we all pick Texans players.
Yeah. All right. In that case, let's add.
Let's add someone. Who do we want to add? We need a Bear.
A Bear.
Demarick Felton. On Tyson? How are we feeling about Demarick Felton?
Demarick Felton, who is a gadget guy formerly of the Browns that I thought was good, but he doesn't really play full-time receiver or full-time running back. So I don't know what you want to do with that.
We're going to go over two receptions for Demarick Felton.
All right.
Done. There it is.
Nice and easy.
There's our bet. It's, you know.
I got that at 10 to win 100.
Yep.
All right.
In. Hey, by the way, the women's all-around competition is underway or starting very soon.
At the Olympics?
Yeah. And it is, I saw earlier, the first time ever that two, could this be right? That two, yeah, Simone Biles and Suni Lee are going, first time in history, two Olympic all-around champions will compete in an Olympic all-around final. It's never happened before.
Wow.
The two gold medal winning all-around champions are both back in the same Olympics going head-to-head. Suni Lee and Simone Biles.
Wow.
So that's happening soon. That's on Gold Zone.
Yeah. What's on Gold Zone right now?
Travis Kelce gets a 99 rating in Madden. Fifth time he's done that.
Yep. He's still pretty good.
He is. He's going to be on the NFL's
Is he still
10.
The best tight end in football this year?
Sure. Probably.
He can't be forever, right? Him, he's starting to get towards unprecedented age territory for a guy performing like this. Like, Kelsey's going to be 35 at the start of the year. You know how old Rob Gronkowski is?
36.
Rob Gronkowski is the same age.
As
just turned
Kelsey?
35. Exact same age as Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
And he's been gone, well, is this the third year without Gronk in the NFL? And then there was another year before that where he was retired. Come on, Kelce, hang him up.
Okay, remember cheat motion?
Cheat motion?
Cheat motion.
No.
It's what Mike McDaniel invented with Tyreek Hill, cheat motion.
Okay.
And then everybody in the league adopted it within a year. It's now against the rules.
When you say cheat motion, you're saying like when he would have Tyreek Hill, what? Like run... He would, like, run one way and then run back, kind of?
I don't know what would make it different from the motion specifically, but there's a sentence added to the rule book. And I've read it 13 times, and I can't quite grasp it, but...
Okay.
Tyreek Hill gets a running start.
Yes.
It's cool to get them running sideways, still find a way to hit it vertically, so... The challenge is officiating it. It's a split second before the snap. Basically, they're going to be watching to see if he starts to turn up the field in that split second.
I see. Okay. Because maybe there would be times where he has like a third of a second early. He's turned his hips and he's now running up the field.
Right. Think about it on a 90-degree scale. He's running 90 degrees to the line of scrimmage, perpendicular,
yeah,
parallel line of scrimmage, perpendicular to the field where they want to go. If he ticks 1, 2, 5, 7, 12 degrees.
Yeah.
That's forward. Cheat motion. So they're going to be really tight on cheat motion for the Dolphins this year. Fade the Dolphins under their win total.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
The Dolphins. How frustrated must you be if you're Mike McDaniel? I'm so innovative out here. They're changing rules because of me, and I still haven't won.
That's how you know you're good. All right, we got to get a break in Extendo Sports coming up on WGR. All right, wrapping things up. Cole Bishop week to week shoulder injury. That's not great news for the Bills rookie. Zach Jones coming up. Who's on? Zach and Josh, you both hanging out there for the Extra Point Show. What do we got going on, Josh?
We will be looking back on some of Joe Brady, some of Bobby Babbage. We might take a look into Clay Martin as well, the NFL official that spoke with the media a little while ago. Sounds like he had some insight on the new rule changes and things like that. So we're going to try to dissect that a little bit and see what's coming up in this new NFL season.
Well, very good.
Jimmer Fredette's at the Olympics.
Okay.
What?
I mean, he's as a tourist?
No, he's on the 3-on-3 USA basketball team.
Oh, all right. They lost to Poland yesterday, didn't they?
They did. He's 35 years old. He hasn't played competitive basketball since 2021.
Feels like you got to know somebody to get on the 3-on-3 team.
Doesn't it feel like that's disrespectful to the Olympics? Doesn't it feel like they didn't take it seriously if they put a retired NBA guy on there? Or am I wrong about that?
I mean, were there tryouts?
I mean, I don't know.
All right. Hey, if you missed Joe Brady.
Okay, sorry. He was, although he hasn't played professional basketball, he was USA Basketball's 3-on-3 Male Athlete of the Year in 2023.
Feels like a good reason to put him on
the
team.
So maybe he's been playing 3-on-3 in other areas.
If you missed Joe Brady, give it a listen. It was great. Had a great conversation with the Bills offensive coordinator. Nobody says anything. I thought both our conversations with Bobby Babbage and Joe Brady were pretty good. So
I feel like they're very different types of people. That doesn't mean they're different types of coaches. Babbage feels like he is intense, and Brady is like pretty. Like, I feel like he's pretty chill.
Yeah.
In day-to-day life.
Good stuff. All right. We are back in studio tomorrow, wrapping this week from camp out here at Fisher. See you at the Blue and Red game. We've got that coming up tomorrow from the stadium. So that's cool, too. All right. Jeremy and Joe signing off. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.